Glory to God. I never get tired of coming before God. Don't get me wrong. Your flesh, I know this as well as you. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want to come to church. Right? You guys are all going to say, not me. No, not me. Just look over here. He's not talking to me. I'll tell you, sometimes my flesh doesn't want to come to church. You know? Sometimes I'd rather just chill than not. And I do that. But, you know, but aside from that, my heart has always been to come, and it's such a blessing to, before I pastored a church, just to be able to come and hear the word, because it's supernatural. You know, when somebody will come and say that was just for me, I say that is God. God is faithful. He does this. I can't do it. You understand that, right? Yeah, it's not that I can figure out what to say. I don't know you like God knows you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but it's the anointing. It's God Almighty and the Holy Spirit using men, and it's precious. It's holy. It's an awesome supernatural thing. What's going on when we come to church is supernatural. It may not be spectacular all the time, but so many people are looking for the spectacular, but they're missing the supernatural moving of God. Guys, when your body, when you go week after week and your body is doing well, that's supernatural. When you go week after week and your marriage is doing well, that's supernatural. You understand not everybody has that. You say, well, that's just normal. Some people have a good marriage. No, you know, if you'll yield to God, it's His way of living. And it is supernatural. We're not doing it with just natural means. It's not men's idea to love the way God loves. You can only do that through the power of God. It's not just too mundane for some people. People think that's mundane. Do you realize the mark of true spirituality is your love walk? It is not walking in signs and wonders and miracles. Thank God for those things and the moving, but those are as the Spirit wills. The Bible says God is love. And the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, it says that, let's just turn over there real quick. This is not my subject, but let's just turn over there. 1 Corinthians 13. Guys, I want you to know that Christianity, that what we're doing right now, and true spirituality is not all this woo-woo stuff that I would call it. You know, people can get off in the ditch with anything, but it is living life here on this earth in communion with God. And I don't mean with your head in the clouds and so spiritual-minded you're no earthly good. You know that's impossible. That's a man's saying. But it's actually impossible to be so spiritual that you're no earthly good, because if you're spiritual, you're acting like God. If you're spiritual in the way that you're in tune with your spirit as a born-again Christian, you will absolutely be earthly good, because God doesn't lead people to be off in the weeds doing weird stuff. Now, you can be religious or so woo-woo, you know, kind of caught up with chasing the spectacular that you're no earthly good, yes. But if you're spiritual, that means you're walking, you let your spirit dominate you, not your head, not your flesh. And you absolutely will be very effective on the earth as well. But I'm telling you, some of these things, people discount and dismiss stuff that is what they would say mundane. They're looking for spectacular stuff as a mark of spirituality, and actually, that's not what the Lord would have us to do. And that's not the way he thinks. I want to show you this. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Y'all there? Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That means if I speak eloquently, If men would hear, you know, he's saying, Paul's saying, if I could speak so that I'm speaking with eloquence and with the tongue of men and angels, I'm speaking so powerfully. He said, but I don't have love. He said, I've become noise, just noise. I'm becoming a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. How many of you like to hear? I mean, these are cymbals. If you just did this. If I was just going to do this, where's your crash? You want me to stop? I want me to stop. I'm like 2 feet from that thing. That is just like, shut up. Stop it. That's exactly what he's talking about here. It's noise. If it's not love, it's just, it's noise. But you do that in the right place, it sounds good. But if we think it's how well we're going to speak, how well we can articulate things. And he said, if you know you can do that and be very well spoken and not be in love whatsoever, what would love be? You're concerned about other people. You're concerned about the things God is concerned about. You understand that? Do you understand that you could get people saved and still not do it in love? God will use it. Why? Because if you're speaking the word, how does faith come? It comes by hearing. That means you could witness to somebody, not care anything about them, and they could listen to you and still get saved and still go to heaven, and yet it not be going to your account at all because you didn't do it in love. You actually were seeing how many people you could get saved, so you were actually selfish. You believe that? That's what the word says. If you don't do it in love, it means nothing. God is concerned about our heart. But so many people dismiss this and, well, it's you know, that's mundane. I want to see the spectacular. I want to do this on a large scale or whatever. Well, that's not the right motive. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's a pretty strong statement. You see all the things he just got done saying before that last statement? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, that means you are walking in faith, believing God. Is that possible? It is possible, because you could take God at His word, and God's word will not return void. Believe it, yet still not be concerned about other people. Now, you will have consequences. I'm not saying you could walk in a good, you could have a good, fulfilling Christian life and not walk in love. You're going to have consequences. Do you understand? People have done this on this earth and died early. There are men, and I've mentioned this before, but if you're interested in seeing this, this will give you something to think about. There is a book called God's Generals, if you haven't ever read it. And it's about men and women of God that were used throughout the 1900s and in very well known and had ministries that impacted the world for God. And it's like a biography type of thing, only it's with over like 11, 12 people. And there are individuals there. And they were used in the great healing revivals in the middle of this century. But some of these individuals, most of them, if not all of them, their lives were a wreck. You say, how can that be? This is what we're reading right here. Now, why the ins and outs? Why did God call? I don't know. God looks on the heart. He doesn't. But I know one gentleman in particular. He was just very bold and brassy, not very nice necessarily, had an incredible healing ministry, saw people, just miracles. But he was money-minded. He was not controlling his appetite at all. He was just eat way, way, way too much, and just he did not walk in love toward his fellow ministers, was just kind of belligerent. And he was warned about it. And he died very young, like in his upper 30s. But he shook the world. I mean, he walked in mighty power. Will God use somebody that's not have all their ducks in a row? Yeah. But you can't do that indefinitely. You can't dismiss love and have it not affect your life. Those people are proof. Another man is an alcoholic. He battled with alcoholism his whole life, but saw mighty miracles. When he was dying, he got, I believe that was him, am I story right? There was a car accident. And somebody he loved and he was there, and he had gotten off and wasn't really where he should have been with God, but he reached over and laid his hands on, it was somebody related to him, his child or somebody, and said, God, heal him, and the person was healed. But his life was not good. So how can that be? God's gifts are and callings are without repentance. And he will call somebody, and you say, why does that happen in a certain way? I don't know. Ask God. I don't know. But I do know that if people think they're going to get away with not walking in love with people, the Bible says the wages of sin are death. Period. Now, we don't earn our salvation. You don't have to be good in order to be saved. That's what Jesus did. But if we think we'll just do what we want to do and it not affect us because we're Christian, we're wrong. It absolutely, the wages of sin are death. That means you don't take it lightly what Jesus did, what he bought and paid for and made us holy. You don't go off and say, well, it doesn't matter, I can do what I want to do because I'm saved, I'm blood washed. That's true, that you are saved and blood washed. But if you don't walk in love, if you don't listen to what the Bible says concerning how you behave, it will cost you. It can blow your life up. Amen. But the good news is we don't have to have one or the other. Thank God. You don't have to be like, well, I'm going to have nothing going on in my life and be this love person, nor I'm going to have all this stuff going on and then my life's a wreck. It doesn't have to be like that. If we'll do what God tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, how he tells us to do it, and walk in love while we're doing it, there's nothing better. But some people would say the former, the things that are spectacular, that's somebody that's really walking with God. Yet somebody that looks like there's not all these super spectacular things, but boy, they get along. The people around them, they love their family. They're healthy. Well, that's mundane. I'm telling you, that's life. Did you hear me? Walking with God and being in peace with those around you, walking in love and experiencing the joy and peace of God, that's what Jesus came to buy us back. All these other things are mechanisms whereby God can minister to people so that they can experience that very thing. But that's the end goal. If the ministry is not, that's not an end in itself. Going out and trying to get people saved to say that I've gotten, quote, I've gotten, notice it, I've gotten people saved. We don't get anybody saved. Without Jesus, you can tell them whatever all day long, but unless he paid that price, they couldn't be saved. Jesus saved them. We're just telling them what Jesus did. To God be all the glory. But people, to say, well, I'm going to do that, and that's something in itself, get saved for what? Get saved, and then what? Then we ought to grow up and be close to him. We ought to enjoy life as he has it, full of love and life. That's not mundane. The world has all the flashy stuff.
And it's hollow. It's just, there's nothing there. Life with God is what we were created for. Amen.
Well, we're off here.
Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, listen to what it's saying and map that to what people say about spirituality. And though I have the gift of prophecy, somebody is walking in the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, educated, and all knowledge, know about the Bible, know about all these things. And though I have all faith, they're walking in faith. I believe in faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is important. But notice what it says here. And though I have all these things, so that I could remove mountains, and in fact, my faith is working, but I have not love, I am nothing. That is very strong. You're talking about somebody that people would say, oh, that person, they just must walk in water. What it must be like to live with that person. And maybe the person's wife going, you don't want to know what it's like. Huh? That's exactly what this is saying. Because people mark spirituality the wrong way. They look externally. God looks on the heart, the Bible says. When God anointed, or when Samuel, God, through Samuel, anointed David king, they brought all his other brothers out. Said, surely it's this guy. Boy, look at him. He's a warrior. And God told Samuel, I've refused him. Then the next one, well, here we go. No, not him. Went through all of them. Don't you have any more sons? Well, yeah, there's David. He's out with the sheep. Bring him in. I'm going to wait. We're not doing anything until I see him. And when he showed up, God said, that's the one. Anoint him. Little 17-year-old boy. They thought, you know, he's not one of the warriors. He's out tending the sheep, but God said, that's the one. Looking on his heart. God, David had a relationship with God. And he was just tending sheep, but he had life. He walked with God. And then he was made king. Now, he made some mistakes, but God still called him a man after his own heart. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Really? So you give all your money to help other people, quote unquote. And though you give your body to be burned as a martyr. I mean, what can you give that's more precious than your life? Maybe your children's lives. I mean, that would be, I can't think of anything more important than that. Like, you know, God said he gave his only begotten son. I mean, what's more important than that? I would consider my children's lives more important than mine. I'd lay mine down in a second. I think all you parents would say the same thing. So, I mean, in my estimation, your life's one of the most your most important, but I think somebody that's important to you, giving them, that would be probably more important. But it says, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It doesn't profit me anything. So, even though you gave all your money to feed the poor, even though you sacrificed your body, but you didn't do it out of love, it doesn't do any good for you. It didn't say it does just, you know, marginally less good. It said it does you, profits you nothing. Nothing. I mean, with these three verses, you could say, I mean, you could look at a lot of things that men are calling spiritual or good, and you can just take the legs out from all those things and say, this is what's important. Are we walking in love? That the person that walks in love is a spiritual person. The Bible said God is love, 1 John. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, he gave, but it was motivated by love. God didn't come to make a big show on earth through Jesus.
When they tried to make Jesus king, he just said, no, I don't want anything to do with this. He did not come to draw people attention to himself. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to lay his life down. He was spat on. He was crucified. He was mocked. He did not come to be glorified by men. But he did all that because he loves you and I. And he gave his life out of love. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he ran his race. He laid down his life. He is the king. I don't think our minds can wrap around that fact, that was Jesus is the Son of the living God. He came to earth in a humble form. And he ran his race for you and I, did not take any of the things that men would glorify. He put it all aside. He put his power aside. He walked on this earth as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He knew as he became an adult, or when he became mature, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature. He became aware of who he was and what his call was. And he laid down his life for you and I. And he did miracles. He did them by the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. He did not do any miracles until you see that he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down on him. Anything that you ever see where there's a little kid Jesus and he's doing miracles, you know, healing the baby bird's wing or whatever, that's extra biblical. That does not that's not based on the Bible. Because that's saying that that's just not in the Bible. The Bible has no record of him doing any miracle until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He walked as a man. He's 100% God, 100% man. How can that be? The Bible says it. He didn't walk around as God. He did not do those miracles as God. How did he know the things he knew? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. How did he do the miracles? Gifts of healings. Working of miracles, people's faith, you see both. Some of them, he just walked up, and obviously it wasn't the person's faith, and called them out, and they're healed. Other people, they came after him, and he said, according unto your faith, be unto you. It was, you're healed because of your faith. But Jesus walked, how many of you know, he walked completely in love. He never did anything that was outside of love. Never. Never. So he did it right. He did it the way we ought to. Verse 4. See, this becomes this. We've heard this in so many weddings, probably, and different things, that this has become. I usually like to read this out of a different translation. At least it shakes up our mind a little bit. But this is the New King James. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So, love suffers long and is kind. So, you're patient and kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, doesn't show off. It's not puffed up, not proud. Wow, that's just all mundane. No, this is godly. Well, let's go by this and let's get... And people look by this, I've heard that. It's not hearing it. Do we do it? Do we do it? Not in a religious way, but it's a check. Do we let God live through us? Because God's love. That means anything he's going to do through us is going to be love. If we're yielding to the Spirit of God, we're yielding to the Spirit of love. And I tell you, this is supernatural. Walking in love with other people and being at peace with God and men, your spouse, your children, is heaven on earth. But the Bible says, if you're not, the Bible says it's better to live in the corner of a roof than to live with a woman. It says woman, but or man, either way. With somebody that's basically a pain in the neck. So I'd rather live, give me a roof, give me the corner of that roof, and I'll rather live there than being inside the house with somebody that's a jerk. Huh? I mean, seriously, what is all the other stuff What is all this other stuff that it's saying? These quote-unquote ministry gifts, things that people do for the wrong motivation, think they're doing something, quote-unquote, for God, but don't have the time of day for you. Now, I'm not saying that you should just be able to go up and talk to anybody you want. You need to understand there's logistics with that. People say people don't care. You get somebody that's got 10,000 people there, and they're mad because they can't get to talk to the person personally. I mean, that's selfish. Person's probably traveling, they're tired, we got to watch that. But there's an attitude and a heart. It's a heart condition. And we despise that sometimes. Just walking with God. Is this too simple today? People look right over the good stuff in life, the real stuff in life, and they look to something that's shiny and sparkly from a distance and say, I want that. But it's just like a mirage. You get there, not what you thought. And the things that were real and important jump right over them. Just despised them. Didn't count them worthy of time. Didn't count them worthy of attention because our eyes are focused on something we think is big or neat. And it's really from the view of men. We've got to very much be careful in this, as Christians in this world, the things that we glorify, the things that have honor in the world are not, for almost the most part, the things that God honors. The things that men chase in this world. If the world wants it, that ought to be a sign right there that we probably don't. I'm not saying everything. Having your needs met is a good thing. I would say anybody in here would say having the money you need to do what you need to do and to be comfortable, the whole world wants that. That's not a bad thing. And to have more than enough is a good thing. You can help do the work of God. But notice what it said in verse 3. Though I give all my goods to the poor, even if I did give it all, but I don't do it in love. So you can have money, plenty of money, and use it in love. And that's awesome. And we shouldn't feel guilty about it. Because you could give all the money you had and be completely broke tomorrow and not dent the world's needs. Everything you have. And you could go into debt, mortgage, everything you have, and not dent the world's needs. You cannot be led by need. Because everyone in it, we could just give everything. But it wouldn't do anything. It's got to be motivated by love. What's another way of saying that? Motivated by God, because God is love. God, we have to be led by Him and what He wants us to do and not do. The world looks at the external, it looks at the temporal, it looks at stuff that will be here today and gone tomorrow. Look at sports, people that were considered sports legends. You know what? Look, I like sports. I'm not saying anything about that, but look at how fickle men are. You take a young man that's in his prime physically, and he's a hero to little boys, but he's going to get old like everybody else, and when he's gone on, he's not the one that's on TV anymore. Unless he's there as a commentator or they're interviewing about something. But he's not the one that's on prime time playing in the big game anymore. The world's moved on. You look at rock stars and stars that people are glorifying that. Oh, I just wish kids say, I just wish I could be like that person. I just wish I could have all that money and that fame and to be famous. And you look at their lives and they don't have a clue where they're going. They don't know God. Their lives are a wreck. Half of them are on drugs. If they do get married, they get divorced. If you go by the world standards, men will be married to these women that all the men are thinking, oh, I'd love to be married to her, and they get divorced. There's no satisfaction in temporal, external things. That's all flashy. That's all flesh. That's what it is. It's flesh and it's mine. It's like, oh, I want that. I want that. But then it's gone. And this has crept into the church, no doubt. People are going by the external. People are going by what makes me feel good. Oh, I want that. But then it passes by and they're jumping over the thing that is actually life, the things that are actually life. Relationship with God, people. People are precious. None of this other stuff is going to remain. It's all going to be burned up. Have you read the Bible? It's all going to go. Somebody said, Keith Moore said this, he goes, people say, do you believe in global warming? He said, I go way beyond that. I believe in global meltdown. This place is headed, it's all going to be burned up. That's what's really going to happen. It says that the elements are going to burn with fervent heat. And that's going to be replaced with a new heavens and earth. So all this flashiness, you know, electronics, I like new electronics. I do. I don't buy in the cutting edge. But I like, you know, if I have a need for something, I mean, something that could fit really, and there's something that out there that would meet that need, not just superfluous, but I like that. But those things are going to be burned up. And I am in the software business. I understand the stuff from 20 years ago can't match at all what is today, and it will change so fast. And cars, and houses, and clothes, and fame, and accolades of men. Just none of it. It's not important. But we'll jump right over into looking for that. If we're not careful, we spiritualize and say, well, this is God, and it's for the kingdom of God, therefore that's important. But actually, it's the same thing, just dressed in Christian's clothes, as exactly what the world's doing. It's fame, power, recognition, clothes, whatever. And jump right over. Old, plain, mundane, just walking with God, loving those around you, bringing people with you, influencing people because you love them, because you love God, and just moving on. Hallelujah. Verse 4 said, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not think its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. I mean, in margin of my Bible says, keeps no accounts of evil. Doesn't mean you let everybody beat up on you and you don't do anything about it. It just means you're not, you know, they're keeping track of what everybody else did wrong. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So bears up under anything. You know when you're walking in love? If you're walking in love, you're walking with God. You can, I'm going to look this up in the other translation. You don't have your Bible, do you? New Living Translation. You do? Perfect. If you're walking in love, you are walking like God, and God cannot be defeated. When it says love bears all things, that means you're walking in love, you are walking by the power of God, and you cannot be beat. Bears up under anything. That means anything that comes at you, you just cruise through it. I'm not saying you won't have challenge. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. See, people right there will You don't demand your own way. People think you're weak in the world. Actually, you're strong. It's actually a weak one that demands its own, his or her own way. It's not irritable. Not irritable. I mean, just not being irritable is actually being godly. When we're walking around always mad about this, mad about that, you just get kind of finicky. Guess what? That's not love. Now, I'm not saying all this. I mean, you could take a sledgehammer and beat yourself up. That's not the point of this. God is never beating us up, but it's bringing us light. That the things that we should value and treasure are actually godly attributes, which is so far from what the world treasures and values. It's way over here. And that some of these things, this is not a list to say, well, I'm not doing that. It's to say, this is actually what we should esteem to. Instead of looking at a list of some of these other things, we should say, am I irritable? You know, am I touchy? Do I always want my own way? And if I can say, you know what, I've come up a lot in that area, that's godly. That's progress. That's better than some of these other things the world would say, ooh, look at this. And you say, yeah, but I haven't got upset about that for 8 years. That's actually godly. That's something to shout about. I know nobody, most people would say, eh, whatever, I'll take the money. I'd take that. Bible says you could have all the money, but you're in a big house, but have strife, the proverb says. You have feasting, but strife? That is much worse than just having just a small meal, but having peace and love. That is actually way more valuable and way more important than any of these other things that the world values. And you can see it left and right, because things that the world values, these people will be hurting to try to get certain things that the world values, and they will actually lay down their lives in different ways or parts of it to get it. And at the end of the day, not have anything. Like I said, it's like a mirage. It's not real. We don't have to do that to figure out that that's the case. We can read the Bible and we can look at people in the Bible and look at examples and understand that what God values and say, that's what I value. If God values it, I value it. If God holds it lightly esteemed, it doesn't mean anything to me. I'll put aside, that's godly, to have God's attitude toward life. And what does God value? He values people. He values us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us and to give us life. To give us life, what, so we could go chase everything with the world? No, and this isn't, again, to condemn us. This is to say, wait a minute, this is going nowhere. These things that are being pushed by people that don't know God, they're going to find it out sooner or later, but we have the Word of God, and if we'll believe it and act on it, we can start today at even a higher level saying, if God values it, I value it, and that's what my family is going to value. That is godly. That is valuable, to pass down a heritage to your children and to your family that they love God, that they know God, that they value people. That they don't use people to get things, but they use things to bless people, is totally inverse of the way the world thinks. They will throw away people. They will use up people. They're going for the cheapest people. Let's try to get this done as cheaply as possible. Why? So that we can make more money. It's not valuing people. It's valuing the other stuff. And they will use people and throw them away to try to get more money or power or what have you. God never does that. God values people above all. Why? You can see how much He values people. He gave His Son to pay for them. All these, think about it. What that you have or that you've ever seen on this earth is going to remain into eternity. Only those. Everybody's going to remain in eternity. Every person.
Only people. Everything on this earth, these chairs, wood, our cars sitting outside, this building, it's all going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. And then what's it going to mean? Well, I had a whole bunch of whatever, real estate or money. It's gone. It's gone. It's not going to mean anything. Zero. And what about the church building? What about this? What is all this worth? If it doesn't influence people and get people to have a relationship with God, what is it? It's not a means to an end. It's not just an end in itself. Well, I built all this stuff so I could get people saved. Well, good, but was it motivated by the people or by you? Well, I built this business for what? So you could build the kingdom of God or so you could do it? I'm just saying that's the way the world thinks. But we don't have to go along the world. We can have today. My point, I think where we started is, today we have life. If we're born again, we talked about last week on Easter, he who has the Son has life. We have life now. Today. We have the very thing that God gave his Son to give. We have now. You say, well, you don't know my situation, I have this and that. Look at it from the perspective of eternity and what's really important in the world. We have it. You say, well, not everything's going as well as I'd like to. It can change if we'll start valuing what he values. It doesn't have to be like that a week from now. It doesn't have to be like that 6 months from now or a year from now. But it takes us just looking and valuing what God values. And that's, like I said at the beginning, it's mundane to a lot of people. People look at your life. You know, you don't go out and party or go out and do all these different things or aren't getting the latest this or that. You don't have a full life unless there's certain things like that. But actually, you're content, getting along with the people around you. See, people will look at the other stuff and they'll chase it, and it won't be until they've experienced some things that they realize, I didn't mean anything. Let's read a little bit further in the New Living Translation. Is patient and kind. Love does not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Keeps no record of being wronged. This is painting a picture of somebody that values what God values. Again, this isn't to say, oh, I'm dumb here. If we fail in one, we've all fail here, okay? Just for the record, we've all done these wrong. This isn't to say, oh, yep, I did that wrong. It's to say, this is what God values. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. That's what I wanted you to see while we even went to the New Living Translation. Never gives up. Giving up is not godly. Walking in love is far more powerful than we've seen. Walking in love is not weak. True love is unbeatable. True love cannot be held down. True love is God Himself. God never gives up. God never has an attitude, well, I might as well throw in the towel. He doesn't lose. It never loses faith. It never gives up on somebody. It's always hopeful. Always hope is godly. Despair is ungodly. The devil, the enemy, wants us to despair and say, there's no hope, my situation's too far. That's not godly. God will always say, there's hope, don't be cast down, don't give up, we're going to keep going, we're going to make through it, we're going to make it through this, there's a way around, there's a way over, there's a way under, we'll make it. That's godly. Why are people drawn to that? It's godly. It's not just a can-do attitude. God is like that. You can have a can-do attitude and not be motivated by love and just run over people. But you can have that part is godly. Just keep it in context that you esteem people while you're doing it. And that's acting like God acts. That's why it works. Endures through every circumstance. That's love. Love endures through every circumstance. God endures through every circumstance. God is not passing off the scene anytime. And we should have the same attitude. If we're hooked up with Him, if we're walking in love, you are a mature, strong Christian. That's the goal. Hallelujah. I know the world doesn't look at it and go, oh, wow. My goal for this year is to walk in love at a higher level. I want to get in less fights or be less irritable. No, there's all kinds of goals, but I'm saying that's not on the radar of the world. Yeah, that's side, but what is the real stuff? That is the real stuff. This other stuff is secondary. If we'll take care of this, the other stuff will take care of itself. It will. Glory to God. That didn't mean to go there this morning, but here we go. Here we are. Praise God. Let's value what He values. That's good news. Right now, every one of us sitting here, we have life. We have what Jesus bought and paid for. We may not been walking in the fullness of it, but we can come up, and for sure this week, we can partake in more of it. This week, today. We can go to sleep tonight partaking in more of what God has for us than we did at the beginning of the day. And tomorrow can be better. You say, well, why do you say that? Because God's hopeful. God believes the best. And if we're like Him, that's what we are. We're going to go up, and we're going to go up, and it's going to keep getting better. Well, what about this doesn't look so good? It'll change. How do I know that? God has a word. He said, He's told me, and His word, He will not fail, and I'm working with Him, and I'm believing His word, and so it will change. Glory to God.